through down through verse number 41. Yes, through the end of the chapter. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. The Word of God says, "In that same day, when the even was come, He saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him even as He was in the ship. And there were also with Him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake Him, and say unto Him, Master, carest Thou not that we perish? And He arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And He said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey Him?" Read with us again in verse number 36. "And when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him even as He was in the ship, and there were also with Him other little ships." You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while I read the Word of the Lord. Now, it's a passage of Scripture I've preached a multiplicity of messages from, and thankful for it. It's been a help and a blessing to me. But this morning that God has given me something different than I've ever thought about from this passage of the Word of God. Notice what we're reading. Jesus was teaching at the shores of Galilee in Mark chapter 4. Now, He sets down on the ship and pushes out just a little bit into the sea, as Brother John mentioned, he would do it oft times this morning in Sunday school. And the crowds then stood on the Sea of Galilee, and as he sat out in a little ship and would teach them, and they would come to hear Him and to hear the preaching of the Word of God. All day the people stood on the shore listening to the Master as He preached parables unto the people. It was an interesting arrangement in those days. Jesus would sit down to preach and they would stand up to listen. I don't imagine the people would tolerate very long congregational services if we met in that fashion anymore. And so Jesus would sit down, the people would stand up, and He preached unto them all day long. As they stood in the hot sun, and He sat on the sea in the ship preaching unto them the gospel. And as the day was done and all the people had begun to disperse, the Bible says that Jesus told the disciples to load up the ship, that they were going to the other side. And as the ship set sail, other little ships, in verse 36 says, "And other little ships were also with Him." Other little ships followed Him, friend. And now we know that a storm came, and the winds blew, and the rains fell, and the waves crashed, but Jesus was asleep in the hinder part of the ship on a pillow. And they came to Him and said, "Master, carest Thou not that we perish?" And He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." And immediately there was calm. Certainly we thank God for the miracle worker that is our Savior, the sea calmer, that can calm the troubled seas of our life and speak peace to our lives. And they feared in their hearts, saying, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea doth obey Him?" But I'm interested today in this phrase from verse 36, which said, "And there were also with Him other little ships." Other little ships. I want to preach, if God will help me today, on the little ships. I want to preach on the little ships. The little ships. If a man will follow Jesus, he will set sail in some ships in this life. The little ships. And now we see an image here of Christ. He's preached the gospel unto sinners that need to receive it and need to hear it. And then He says to those that will follow Him, "We're heading to the other side." Amen. Thank God. And then they load up on the ship and set sail for the other shore. Is that not what's happened in every one of our lives? We have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've heard the teaching and the preaching and the instruction of our Lord. And He said unto our souls as He spoke sweetly through the still small voice of conviction, "Go with me, let's set sail for the other side." And we are headed for the other shore, friend. And there is a shore that's fairer than this. And there is a land that's better than this. There's a land of eternal bliss, and I intend to go there. I'm sailing with my Lord. He sailed, and there were other little ships sailing behind Him. I'm glad to be sailing
sailing with the master of the wind. Now on the way, friend, from one shore to another, there will be storms that will come. And there will be trouble that will come. There will be battles. You'll face difficult times. There will be days of difficulty, days of distress, days of duress, days of, my friend, when you don't know what to do with the situation that's surrounding you. But I'm glad if we'll follow, my friend, the ship of Zion, we'll all make it safer to the other side. The other little ships. Now, I want to talk to you this morning about the little ships we're sailing in while we follow the Lord. Amen. The little ships. Every Christian, every follower of Christ is going to sail in a little ship of following Christ. And there are some ships we're going to sail in this life. First of all, I want to say, if you'll follow the Lord in a little ship, you will sail in the ship. My friend, the little ships you'll sail in, you'll sail in the fellowship. Amen. If you're going to sail and follow Jesus in the little ships, you'll sail in the fellowship. I'm glad to be in the fellowship this morning, aren't you? And I mean, when a man sails with Jesus, he sails in fellowship. We once were foreigners. We once were strangers. We once were pilgrims. We once were outcasts. We once were far off from God. We once were far off from His promises. We once were far off from His people. But now we have fellowship. For ye who were far off, said Ephesians 2:11, have now been made nigh by the blood of His Son. We're not, my friend, sailing alone, but we're sailing in the fellowship. We have fellowship because we're following Jesus. I want to say we're sailing in fellowship with the Savior. Amen. I mean, 1 Corinthians 1:9 said, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The Lord is not a stranger unto me, but He and I are in fellowship. I'm glad to be in fellowship with the Lord Jesus. I've had a lot of good friends in this life, and I've had a lot of good fellowship with a lot of good folks, but nobody ever cared for me like Jesus. I mean, I'm surrounded by people that I enjoy fellowship with in this meeting this morning. But thank God for fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I praise His high and holy name. 1 John 1:3 said, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son Jesus Christ. We can fellowship with the Savior. And the Apostle John said, if we have fellowship with God, we have fellowship one with another, friend. And so we're sailing in the fellowship. And therefore we have fellowship with the Savior. And we have fellowship with the saints. I mean, we know we pass from death into life because we love the brethren. We have fellowship one with another. 1 John 1:7 said, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Acts 2:42, when they got saved on the day of Pentecost, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. I mean, friend, there was more than just one little ship. There was a number of little ships. I'm glad to be in the fellowship. I'll tell you, people having fellowship with God or fellowship with one another, I mean, you cannot love God whom you have not seen and not love your brother whom you have seen. If you say you love your brother whom you have not seen or whom you have seen, not God whom you have seen, you're a liar and the truth's not in you according to the Word of God. But we love God because He first loved us. And we love one another because we love God. And because God loves us. I mean, there's a web of fellowship between God and His people and His people and one another. And cannot be broken, friend, by the waves of this life. Trouble will come, problems will come, battles will come, difficulties will come. The church will sail through some difficult places. But if you'll follow Jesus in the fellowship, you can sail safely to the other shore. Amen. The little ships. I'm glad to be in the fellowship this morning. Amen. Not only will you sail in the fellowship, but I'll say today you'll sail in the friendship. Amen. You'll sail in the friendship. Well, thank God. Proverbs 18:24 said that a friend, if a man must have friends, he must show himself to be friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Thank God. I'm glad for the friendship of the Lord Jesus Christ. So many people today have been friends with the world and unfriendly to the people of God. But James 4:4 said, friendship with the world has enmity with God. Whosoever therefore be a friend of the world is the enemy of the Lord. Amen. But I want to be a friend of Jesus. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. I want to be friends with him. I want to sail in the friendship of following the Lord Jesus, friend. Following the Lord Jesus. Following the Lord Jesus. Now the Bible says, my friend, that as saints of God, the world will not always love you. They'll hate you because they hate God. They'll hate you because they hate the Savior. Hey, they'll hate you because they hate the way you're living. They'll test you. They'll try you. They'll reject you. They'll despise you. They'll leave you out, friend. I mean, if you thought everybody that you work with, if you thought all your family members, if you thought every one of your buddies was going to be glad when you got saved, you were sadly mistaken. I mean, everybody you know didn't just jump up, start weeping and crying, kiss you on the cheek, tell you how proud are you that they were when you got born again. There's some that will reject you. There's some that will turn their back on you. There's some that will stab you in the back. There's some that will mock you. Matter of fact, dare I say, in the lost, condemned world, here's the majority that will treat you that way. They'll ostracize you from their fellowship. They'll turn their back on you. They won't want you to go to lunch with them and work no more. They won't want to tell you their stories. They won't want to talk to you all the time anymore. And you don't want to listen to what they've got to say so much no more. I mean, their stories is not as interesting as they used to be. You're not quite as interested in some of the jokes they tell and some of the words they say. And they're ashamed to tell you some of the jokes they tell and say around you some of the words they would otherwise say. They feel condemned by the lifestyle you lead. They're convicted by the fact that you live and exhibit Christ in your everyday lifestyle. And there's going to be times that you're going to feel rejected. Your feelings is going to be hurt. You're going to carry a weight on your back. But may I say unto you, when it seems like all your friends are gone, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. A friend loveth of all times. And a brother is born of adversity. But I'm glad Jesus is our friend. And when you feel like you're all by yourself, know this, he said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. I'll go with you to the end of the world. You're not sailing in your little ship alone. But those of us in the friendship are following Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody said, oh, my friend is gone. Oh, open your eyes, friend. Open your eyes and see. See the Savior. See the saints. Understand you're not friendless. The best friends you can have is the people of the family of God. Amen. Amen. Hey, I go down Farm Bureau. Now, I'm not saying say this, go on radio. I'm not saying say this at all. I go down and I tell them this. I go down to Farm Bureau to make a living. I'm not there to make friends. No, I'm not there to make enemies. I'm not saying that. But I'm not there to make friends. I'm there to make a living, friend. I mean, it's a means to an end. It's a way of feeding my family. I enjoy what I'm doing. I don't despise what I'm doing. I feel like there's some nobility in what I'm doing. I thank God for the people I'm able to help from time to time. Provide a service nobody else in the world can, except the people that do what I do. But all the same, I don't do what I do out of some sort of benevolence or in order to make friends or buddies. I want to make friends. I come to the house of God and make friends. I'm thankful to be friendly with the people I work with. I have made some great friends with the people I work with. But I'm going to tell you, friend, the best friends I've ever had, and even some of them that I worked with, was because they're people that knew God. Amen. Brother David Dent was here this morning. I'll embarrass him, call his name out in the middle of it, put it on the radio. Glad to have him here with us. We made friends with the Liberty National. But we wasn't friends because we worked together. We just happened to work together and be friends. And we've been friends even when we quit working together. And he's at Boston, I'm at Farm Bureau, and we used to be at Liberty National. We're all still friends because there's something a lot greater than some stupid company or some group that we're working with or hanging about with that bonds us together. I mean, if your friends is tied together with a bottle of liquor, they're tied
tied together with an occupation, or tied together with a workplace, or tied together with your connection with your friends. It's a hobby, bowling, or fishing, or golfing, or hunting, or whatever it is. I mean, that friendship is not very strong. But my friend, when you're bonded together with the love of Christ, there's a bond the world cannot mount away, because we're sailing in the friendship. For sailing in the friendship. Amen. You understand what I'm preaching about? I'm talking about them little ships. I'm glad to be in the friendship. Ain't God be friendly to sinners, friend. But understand, your real friends are the people of God. I'm glad to sail in the friendship. I'm thankful for my friends that the Lord's given me along this way. True friends, true friends. True friends are just that. They are true. They're not the ones that pat you on the back with a knife in their hand. That person that's always a gossiping about you and talking about you is not your friend. That fellow's always mocking you, fun of you, making fun of you, trying to get you to go off and do things with them that they're not supposed to be doing and you're not supposed to be doing. That is not your friend. I'm telling you, true friends are true. A friend loveth at all times. Well, I want to say true friends are profitable. They'll help you. It's good to have real friends. It'll help you, Brother Charles. I mean, the Bible said Ecclesiastes 4:9, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But what to him that's alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. I'm thankful for friends. They are profitable. True friends are. True friends are constant. True friends are not friends today and don't know where they are tomorrow. True friends don't shake your head today and stab you in the back tomorrow. True friends are there when there's money in your pocket and when you're broke. True friends are there whenever you're healthy and when you're not. True friends love you and pray for you when you're going through a hard time. True friends don't tell everybody when you do something wrong. True friends will stand by you. They are constant. Ruth was a true friend to Naomi. She said, where you go, I'm going to go. Where you die, I'm going to die. And there, I'm going to be buried. Your God's going to be God, my God. Your people, my people. That's true friend. A true friend. A true friend's Jonathan, who turned against his own father to help his friend David, who he knew was in the right with God. A true friend's like Elisha, who followed Elijah all the way into the time that the chariot of fire from heaven come down to pick him up, even though every one of the preacher boys of the day tried to discourage him. A true friend is like Thomas, the apostle who told Jesus in John 11:36, they said, Jesus, if you go to Jerusalem, they'll kill you. That's dangerous there. And John Thomas said, well, if he's going to die, let's all just go die with him. In other words, if I don't want him to go, I don't think it's a good idea. But if he goes, I'm going. Amen. I mean, that's a true friend that'll follow you even unto death. A true friend is like Priscilla and Aquila, who laid down their own necks for the Apostle Paul. They were constant. They were dependable, friend. They were dependable. I'm glad to be sailing in the friendship. Maybe some of you today, even in this building, wonders if you really have a true friend. You're scared to confide in anybody, scared to talk to anybody. People have done you wrong. You wonder if you really got a true friend. But I want to say, I've never had a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. And because of my friendship with Him, I have friends with others. Friends of others. Amen. So I'm sailing in a little ship this morning. I want to say I'm sailing in fellowship, sailing in friendship. If you'll sail with Christ, you'll sail in the worship. Amen. W-O-R-S-H-I-P. If you sail with Christ and follow Christ, you'll sail in the worship. Amen. Hey, thank God. I'm glad for the saints of God can have an opportunity to worship. I'm glad for the days I've spent sailing in the worship. Amen. Thank God for the worship. Thank God for a place to lift up the Lord. Thank God for time to glorify His name. Thank God for liberty and freedom to raise my hands and glorify the name of the Savior. I've drawn joy from worship, and I've drawn strength from joy. Thank God for sailing in the ship of worship today. Amen. The word worshiping is in your King James Bibles some 191 times. I mean, those who will sail with Jesus will sail in worship. Amen. We didn't come today to socialize. We didn't come to prove a point or to please the world. Brethren, we have met to worship and adore His name. We didn't come to see how we could prove to you what kind of show we could put on or how happy you'd be with our presentation. We can
came to worship, thank God, and adore the name of God. I didn't come for you, didn't come for my mom and my daddy to get my wife off my back. I came to worship.
I came to worship. The church is a ship of worship. You're going to get in the real church, you'll have to sail in worship. Thank God. 2 minutes a day, think of the church as a McDonald's. They want a Happy Meal in a playground. But I'll tell you, this is a place of worship. It's not a place for games and digits and gadgets. I'm telling you, friend, it's a place to lift up holy hands in the sanctuary and bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Bless His high and holy name. There are three things we ought to do at church. We ought to preach, we ought to pray, and we ought to praise. Anything don't fall in one of them three categories, haven't got much business at the house of God. Hey! We ought to preach, and we ought to pray, and we ought to praise. And I'm glad for worship.
Glad
for worship. Amen. Hallelujah. Churches today got bigger multi-purpose facilities, gyms, and fellowship halls and eating and dining halls and so forth, than what they got worship centers. Amen. And they're eating and playing, and they're rising up to, and they're going down to sleep and rising up to play, just like the prophet said they would. And they're not a worshiping God. But brethren, the Bible said, not forsake the assembly of yourselves together as a manner such is, even so much the more as you see the day approaching. We're not here to play kindling wings. We're here to worship.
We're here to worship. We're here to worship. We're here to worship. I'll tell you something else. Don't want to burst your bubble. I'm not here to pat you on the back and make you feel good. I'm not supposed to be here to make you go out here glowing and a grin and smile. We're here to worship.
I mean, somebody say, I come to church because I need some. You ought to come to church to glorify God. I come to church to get a blessing. You ought to come to church to worship God. I mean, brother, we have come to worship. Now, if we'll worship, you'll get a blessing. If we'll worship, you'll get what you need. If we'll worship and you get right with God, you can leave feeling good. But all them things ain't what we come for. We came to worship. To worship. Didn't come to see how pretty Tony could play on the piano, how nice a singing voice somebody had. We didn't come to see how smart John was who taught Sunday school. We didn't come this morning, my friend, to see how much a preacher could sweat and stomp and snore. We came to worship. Worship, 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 worship. You know what worship is? Worship is adoration. Who did we come to worship? We didn't come worship me. We didn't come worship the Methodist. We didn't come worship a movement. We came to worship Him. We came to adore Him. We came to glorify Him. We came to lift up Him. You're going to sail in a little ship behind the Lord. You'll have to sail in the ship of worship. Worship.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, pray and holy manna will be showered all around.
Didn't come to play Monopoly, didn't come to play games, ain't here for bingo night. We came to worship Him. Amen, thank God. And today as I came to worship, I will do just that. Do as you will. Choose you this day whom you'll serve. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. I came to worship. Hey,
If you'll stay on the ship of worship, you'll have to worship Him with your tears. I mean, we've become too dry in this day and age. God, help us to sow in tears and reap in joy. God, make my head a fountain of waters and mine eyes a river of tears. Thank God. I mean, worship Him with our tears. We ought to worship Him with our tithes. Amen. And with our offerings, friends. We ought to worship Him with our hands, lifting up holy hands in the sanctuary and blessing the name of the Lord. We ought to worship Him with our lips, the fruit of our lips giving praise unto His name, as the Scripture says. We ought to worship Him more than anything, with the whole heart, not half-heartedly, not like a daisy cut, but with our whole heart, worshiping God.
Amen. Thank God for the little ship of worship. The little ships. If you'll sail with Christ in some of these ships, you'll sail in the little ships of worship and fellowship, friendship and stewardship. Stewardship. You're going to sail in them little ships following Jesus, you're going to have to sail in a stewardship. What is a stewardship? Well, Luke 16:2, Jesus told of a parable in which a wealthy man had a servant to whom he commanded, give an account of thy stewardship. To us, he's saying the same thing. God's given us great opportunities and bountiful blessings, and we must faithfully watch over them. 1 Peter 4:10 said, as every man received a gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. 1 Corinthians 4:1-2 said, let a man so give account of us, so as the ministers of Christ and the stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful.
If you're going to sail the stewardship, you're going to have to be faithful.
Can you think of the manifold blessings of God that He's given to you? Have you been a good steward of them? Have you been found faithful in the gifts of God been placed in your pathway? He said we were stewards of the grace of God. The grace that God's given you, where sin did abound much in your life, grace did much more abound. Have you been a good steward of His grace? Have you been a follower of Christ? Have you been a good steward of the blessings of God that He's given to you? It's required a steward to be found faithful. A steward can't live for God one day and live for the devil the next. A steward can't decide to sail a ship one day and just let the thing sink tomorrow. I mean, steward's got to be found faithful. Steward's got to be found faithful. Have you been faithful with the stewardship of the gifts that God's given you? I mean, with your family, they are a gift from God, aren't they? All good and perfect gifts come from the Lord. Is your family not a gift from God? I mean, they are a gift from God. Have you been found a faithful steward with your family? Have you prayed for them, prayed with them, set an example before them, attended the house of God together? Have you been a faithful steward with your family? Or have you rejected it and neglected it for your job or for some worldly or earthly pursuit or some amount of pleasure? Have you been a faithful steward with your family? Have you been found a faithful steward with your finances and tithes and offerings? In prudence, in spending and borrowing and saving, have you been found a faithful steward with your finances? It is a gift from God, is it not? And you are the steward of the gift of God. Have you been found a faithful steward of it? Or have you squandered the gift of God while claiming you don't have the funds to pay your tithes and offerings? You don't have the funds to support missions. You don't have the funds to do anything the church needs to do or that your family needs to do. Some of you men have been so sorry and low down with your finances and so irresponsible, and you've glorified yourself and you bought big toys and fancy things for yourself, and yet you've neglected your children. Shame on you! Be a faithful steward of your finances. That's right. That's right. I'll wear a hole in my shoes, let my little girls wear new shoes. Ain't that right? I mean, I've seen David Demon. He won't let me tell this. I've seen him take off his shoe scratch and have holes in his socks. But I bet his wife and youngers ain't going to have holes in their socks. I mean, he's going to see to it they got good ones. And I'm telling you, friend, all of us, hey, you men, be a faithful steward of your finances. Take care of your family and your children first. Amen. That's right, ladies. Be a faithful steward of your finances. I mean, friend, some of you spent more last year on cosmetics than you did on missions. Hey,
way. Oh, you know I'm telling it right. You wouldn't dare put $50 in an offering plate, but you wouldn't think a thing in the world about spending $50 on a stinking pocketbook. A dead cow to put junk in. And for you to turn around on your shoulder, and you'll spend more money on that than you will missions. Oh, God help us to be found faithful in our stewardship. Now, if I'm preaching, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to be practical this morning. I mean, God help us if we're going to sail in the little ships to follow Christ. God help us to sail in stewardship. Amen. I mean, when this church started, we had $4 or $3 and four people and a 14 by 16 storefront building. Amen. Some of them said, well, I don't think so much of it now. It's not a Christian cathedral like they got in California. And my friend doesn't compare to the other church up the road or down the road or this direction or that direction as far as the building's concerned. But you didn't see that 14 by 16 as a storefront building and the offering that my friend was $35 a Sunday. When this thing got rolling, amen.
And everything you're looking at is a gift from God. And if we don't take care of it, we've been poor stewards. And poor stewards. Got to get the outside pressure wash for long. Got to get the pressure wash that's starting to mold in the back. Got to be stewards. Got it fixed in the back where the storm got it this week. A little spot or two. Got the bullet holes where somebody shot at us. Four shots in the house of God. Got the bullet holes when somebody shot us fixing the vinyl this week. Got to get this thing painted. Already got the floors and all cleaned up before the anniversary service come around. I mean, when we started out, you'd been sitting a few years ago, been sitting in blue chairs right down here. God give us the pews. Everything we've got is a gift from God. A gift from God. Somebody said, preacher, it ain't a gift from God. I've been putting an offering plate, and I know the church paid for it. We paid for it with God's money. You gave that money to God. It's a gift from God. And by the way, before you gave it to God, God gave it to you. And so we must be stewards of the gifts from God. Have you been a good steward with your family? Have you been a good steward with your finances? I mean, have you been found faithful? How about your church office that you're in? The thing that you're supposed to be doing down at the house of God. I mean, have you been a good steward with your faith? I mean, friend, have you been faithful in the discharge of your respective duties? Have you been a Bible reader? Have you been a prayer warrior? Have you been a witness for Christ? And hearing by the word of God according to Romans 10:17. Do you know you can be closer to God now than you were the night you got saved? You can have more joy now than you were the day when you got saved. You can live in that. You'll be found a faithful steward. Stewardship, stewardship. Fellowship, friendship, worship, stewardship. You're going to sail in them little ships. I'm going to give you this one. If you're going to sail with Christ, you're going to sail with God. Somebody's going to have to sail in the leadership. When God puts you in this little ship, it does not mean your ship is bigger and better. It does not mean your ship is more important. It does mean your ship has other little ships of followers that are dependent on you to know the way to the other side. Sail cautiously if you're in the leadership. Parents, sail cautiously. You're in the leadership. Preachers, sail cautiously. You're in the leadership. Church officers, sail cautiously. Deacons, Sunday school teachers, choir singers, piano player, choir director, sail cautiously. You're in leadership. People of God, sail cautiously. You're in leadership. Whether you know it or not, there's people on your job site, in your community, in your family that are watching you, and you're in leadership. Sail cautiously. Others are following. If you get off course, if you go aside, if you sink your ship, other little ships will also go with you. If this ship that Jesus was sailing in had got off course and the storm had overtaken it and He had not calmed the sea, thank God for the trials, all the ships would have sunk. All the people would have died if the leadership had sunk. If you're sailing in the leadership, sail cautiously. Fellowship, friendship, worship, stewardship, leadership, hardship. If you sail in a ship following Jesus, you're going to sail in hardship. Just because you follow Jesus, and I'm going to hit this and hit one more and I'm done. Just because you follow Jesus does not mean that you'll never sail in the hardship.
Just because you follow Jesus does not mean your heart will never be broke. Just because you follow Jesus doesn't mean you'll never face a storm. I mean, that's not how it works, friend. You follow Jesus, you're going to sail in the hardship. I mean, there's going to be difficult days. I mean, a friend, in our text, they were sailing at the command of the Savior, were they not? Jesus said, let us go to the other side. But still, they faced a storm. Still, they sailed in hardship. It's a type and a sign, an example, a picture of the life of the believer. We've heard the Word of God. He's called to us from the ship of Zion. We've set sail following Him to yonder shore. But friend, along the way, we will find hardship. I mean, this life is fight of faith. It's a war. It's a battle. It's not a garden party. It's a hardship.
It's a hardship. There will be suffering. There will be persecution. There will be hardship.
Go ahead and expect it.
But sail on, child of God. We're going to the other side.
I'm a sailing the hardship, preacher. Thank God, just because you're in the hardship, don't mean that you're going to be in the sunken ship. Amen. Hallelujah. The ship ain't a going under, it's a going over. We're headed to the other side. We're a following the main ship. The ship is on. And we're a sailing safely.
The ship may sail through storms, but it's a sailing through them. It ain't a sinking in them. Amen. The hardship. I want to finish with the Lordship. The Lordship. The Lord, and I don't mean Lordship as in you exercising Lordship or you being Lord. Maybe Lordship as in Him being Lord over your life and Him exercising Lordship. But if you're going to sail and sail safe to the other side, Brother John, you can't sail on your ship. You can't go your way. You can't sail in my ship. You can't sail in the Methodist ship. There ain't no tickets for the Methodist ship going to heaven. Amen. The Baptist ship. Oh, that's right. Some of them think that God's a Baptist or a Methodist. God's God's what He is. You better get on His ship. I'm talking about the gospel ship. I'm talking about the ship of Zion. I'm talking about the Lord's ship. Sailing in the Lord's ship. You know what? If I got to get on the sea, I can't think of a better ship to get in than His ship. Hallelujah. Yeah. The Lordship, the Lordship. I mean, friend, where do we say, hey, if it's the Lordship, He's the ship master. If He's the Lordship, He's the captain. If it's the Lordship, He's in charge. And if He's in charge, what am I to fear of the waves? What am I to fear of the winds? What am I to fear of the storms? If He's in charge, if He's the ship master, I say, sail on, master. Sail on. We're not going to the other side. If we sail in any other, we'll surely face shipwreck. But hardship cannot sink the Lordship. We're sailing in His ship. We're sailing on His seas. We're going to His country. And these temporary storms cannot deter us from our destination. Thank God. He said we're going to the other side. You come on with a song. I'm about done. Acts 27, that Paul was in a ship. In the midst of a storm, they came into a place where two seas met, a storm called Euroclodon. The Bible says it was so great the ship was torn in two. The Apostle Paul told him in Acts 27, I believe, verse 31, except you stay with the ship, these cannot be saved. I want to tell you something, friend. Don't jump ship. Somebody said, things is hard, things is tough. I'm facing battles, I'm facing storms. Don't jump ship. You want to face shipwreck, you jump ship. You want to face shipwreck, you deviate course. You want your ship to sink, you just go your own route. Friend, you want to sail through the storm, you want to see Him calm the storm. You follow with the shipmaster. You get on the Lord's ship. The Lord's ship. The Bible said He told them to sit there, stay with the ship, all of you will perish. But then it came to the place where the ship was torn in two. Paul said, jump overboard. Wait a minute. He said, swim towards land. Grab a broken piece. Grab a plank and grab a board. They stayed with the ship. There wasn't nothing left of the ship. But the pastor, nothing left but broken pieces. But they stayed with the broken pieces. And did you know when they got to shore, they had a head count? 200 and something of them. And every single one made it ashore. Hallelujah. We're sailing home, children.
We're a sailing hope. We may face storms that may tear our ship apart. We may think we can't make it another day. But you just set sail. Hold on to the broken pieces. One day God will plant our feet safely on Jordan's sandy base. And we'll make it home someday.
Not a one of God's young ones will be left behind. You just stay with the ship. Just stay with the ship. Stay with the ship. More than anything on earth, we need the shipmaster. We need Jesus to span the sea of life, surviving the storms and landing safely on heaven's fair shore. We'll read a verse of a song. We're going to sing in just a second. Stand with us if you will. I want to read a verse of a song. I don't know this song well enough to sing it. I just want to read it. In 1871, Edward Hooper, a missionary to sailors, wrote this song. And he wrote this hymn, "Jesus, Pilot Me." Jesus, Savior, pilot me over life's tempestuous sea. Unknown waves before me roll, hiding rock and treacherous shoal. Charting compass come from Thee. Jesus, Savior, pilot me. As a mother steals her child, Thou canst touch the ocean wild. Boisterous waves obey Thy will when Thou sayest to them, "Be still." Ah, wondrous Savior of the sea, Jesus, Savior, pilot me. When at last I reach the shore, and the fearful breakers roar twixt me in peaceful rest, then while leaning on Thy breast, may I hear Thee say to me, "Fear not, child, I will pilot thee." Child, we someday will near the shore. Church, one day this life will be past. But even in the final lap, even as we near yonder shore, I'm glad Jesus, our Savior, will be our pilot, our captain friend. As Edward Hooper neared the shore in April 23rd of 1888, he was suffering from heart disease and he sat down to write another hymn. At the top of the page of his hymn, he wrote the title, "Heaven." Then he slumped over dead. And among the papers he found in his study after he was dead, they found was the original manuscript of "Jesus, Savior, Pilot Me." And someone said at his funeral that Jesus had done just exactly that. Had piloted him all the way to his last hymnal, heaven. Hallelujah. He'll be your friend. Would you sail in the little ships? Are you on the Lord's ship today? Let's sing. What's your song? 362. You need to come do business for the Lord. I am thine, O Lord. Would you sail in the Lord's ship? You need to come do business with God. You come now.